Hello, and welcome to your favorite bookish podcast, Fully Booked and Caffeinated. I'm Heather.
I'm Kelsey.
And on today's episode, we will be discussing First Time Caller by B.K. Borison. Cute little cozy romance novel. Perfect. Perfect little, like, even like a perfect spring read. Just to kind of, it's a good little fluff.
Mm-hmm. Get you ready for the beach reads.
Yeah, honestly. So before we get into it, what are you drinking?
Well, right now I'm drinking a grapefruit high noon because I went in the fridge to get a crisp cherry Coke and Erica drank them all. But so I opted for alcohol. But
fair.
This morning I did get Dunkin' and I went to the Dunkin' right by my house that is like okay, but not amazing. But the other one was out of the way. And so I ordered on my phone and I ordered an extra 2 pumps of butter pecan because they never put the full amount at this Dunkin'.
Oh my God.
So then when I did the extra,
was it too much?
Perfect. Okay, no, that's what I was worried about, but it was actually perfect. I was like, oh, so this is just what I have to do. And then one time it's probably going to be that they put 10 pumps in there, you know, and then I'm going to
die,
go into a sugar coma. Mm-hmm. But besides that, it was better than usual. So
a win's a win.
I'll count that as a win.
Take them where you can get them these days.
That's the code for today. And that's it. What are you drinking?
I actually also got Dunkin' this morning, of course, but I just got like my typical caramel iced coffee. But this evening, I actually bought, because it was on sale at ShopRite, the Starbucks iced coffee, the medium roast.
Okay.
And then I bought some Chobani sweet cream creamer. Ooh. So I tried it. It's fine. Like, I feel like I'm such a bougie bitch with my coffee, so it needs to just be like handcrafted and made with love. Mm-hmm. So like, it's good. It'll get me through this episode.
And not like pre-made coffee. Yeah.
Like, everyone, I don't like pre-made coffee and people like rave about it.
Yeah.
I don't get the hype.
I mean, I get it for the convenience aspect, but I don't get the hype aspect. Mm-hmm. But once you plug in your frother, you should froth your Chobani sweet cream.
That's what I've heard. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's real good. Because it's like thick enough to like froth.
You know? I know. I see a lot of people do it to make like cold foam and stuff.
Yeah.
So
that'll be good.
So we'll eventually get there.
One day.
My to-do years list is after miles, this podcast miles starts. Long. And I'm doing what I can.
We're going to do a whole special episode
on Heather hooks up her Nespresso.
Let's do a video of it for TikTok.
Like a live stream.
You learning how to use an espresso. And it's literally just you plugging it in. And you're going to be like, wait, why didn't I do that 3 years ago?
That's the actual, that is 100% how that video is going to go.
Okay. We're ready.
Yeah. So anyways, before we get into it, I'm just going to apologize to the listeners because I made a boo-boo. And I did not write my notes after I finished this book a week ago. So joke's on me when I went to go start my episode description notes and I can't remember anything about the book. I remember like the big parts, but there were in little intricate things that I had wanted to discuss and don't remember them. They're gone.
We'll see where the episode takes us.
Exactly. So it's going to be a little unhinged. It is not going to be as nice and
structured,
organized,
as usual.
And structured as per usual, but we're just going to roll with it.
We got this.
Just going to roll with the punches. So B.K. Borison is a New York Times, Sunday Times, and USA Today bestselling author who authors cozy contemporary romances featuring emotionally vulnerable characters and swoon-worthy settings. When she is not daydreaming about fictional characters doing fictional things, she is at home with her family, more than likely buying books she does not have room for. Hashtag relatable.
So relatable.
I was like, ooh, she's me. Also, I posted on our Instagram story, I think like a couple days ago, she posted like her office space with all like her
books.
That
was her office?
That was hers. And I was like, this is the dream.
I loved it.
It was so quaint and cozy. And she had like all her books like this. And then the other shelf was other books that like she's been reading, I get, or just books that she likes and authors and stuff. And I was like, this is like my literal dream.
I know. Actually, it's so funny that you say that, because when I saw that Instagram story, I was like, I didn't know it was hers, but I was like, wow, should I make my home office?
Oh my God.
With the bookshelves around it?
That is, it's such like a smart move.
It really is.
And it's just a cute, like,
and then you're aesthetic. Surrounded by stuff you actually like while you're working.
Right? Right?
Okay. I like it.
So her first romance series is the Love Light series. And I've read the first one.
Yes,
which was Love Light Farms, which was the Christmas tree farm cute romance. There's three other ones in that, I believe. Yes, there is, because it's four. She does the four seasons. So it's winter, fall, summer, and spring. So each book takes place in a specific season. And everyone loves them. Like, literally, I don't think I've seen anyone say one bad thing about these books. And then this series, Heartstrings, is going to have two more books in it.
Okay.
And she has a third series called Ghosted. And the first one, I think, comes out like in October.
Wow. Okay.
So she's doing the series, which is such a common theme in romance novels where they do kind of, which I love it, honestly. A lot of my favorite ones that I've read, like their series, like the cowboy romances, the sports romances, they all take place in the same universe. So I really like that. And this universe that she built up so far with Heartstrings is great. So let's get into our book description. A hopeless romantic meets a jaded radio host in this cozy, sleepless in Seattle-inspired love story. Aiden Valentine has a secret. He's fallen out of love with love. And as the host of Baltimore's Romance Hotline, that's a bit of a problem. But when a young girl calls in to the station asking for dating advice for her mom, the interview goes viral, thrusting Aiden and Heartstrings into the limelight. Lucy Stone thought she was doing just fine. She has a good job, an incredible family, and a smart, slightly devious kid. But when all of Baltimore is suddenly scrutinizing her love life, or lack thereof, she begins to question if she's as happy as she thought. Maybe a little more romance wouldn't be such a bad thing. Everyone wants Lucy to find her happy ending, even the handsome, temperamental man calling the shots. But when sparks start to fly behind the scenes, Lucy must make the final call between the radio-sponsored Happily Ever After or the man in the headphones next to her.
Okay.
Okay.
I feel like the problem with romance book summaries is that we already know what's going to happen.
Obviously. I don't think there's ever been a romance novel that doesn't give you the full synopsis of what is going to happen in this book.
But to be fair, you could read the first paragraph and you already know who's about to fall in love.
Exactly.
Okay.
So I wanted to start with the characters, because I feel like that's kind of a smart move here. So we have Aiden Valentine, whose last name is actually Valen, which I thought was good, because I'm like, if this dude's last name actually is Valentine, that's a little cheesy and too on the nose.
Right.
I liked the Valen. Like, that was actually a really smart move on the author's part. So he's a nighttime radio host of the show Heartstrings, where listeners call in to discuss their love stories and woes. He's definitely now a cynic about love. And a huge part of that is due to his mother's cancer diagnosis and the fear of getting too close to someone just to, like, lose them. And as the show goes on, he becomes more and more disillusioned as people call in with their petty grievances and attitudes, and it doesn't inspire Aiden to be positive towards them. So he just kind of comes, like, the Grinch of love.
Yeah.
Like, he's just a little – he's just a grump.
And it's so – understandable when he says that, because he's like, yeah, this is supposed to be about love, but really it's just all of the bad things about love that people are calling in and talking about.
There's no really anyone calling in. It's not like Delilah, you know. It's like no one's really calling in with, I want to dedicate this song to the love of my life of 25 years. Like, no, it's some lady calling in saying, my husband snores too loud and I want to smother him in his sleep. Like, you know, that's
how
kind
do
of
I
vibe.
Not commit murder.
Exactly.
Also relatable.
And then we have Lucy Stone, who is a single mom who works as a mechanic, which is such a badass job. And it's not even, there's not even any like big hurrah that that's like what she does mm-hmm. as a career. You just kind of like follow her into her job and there's
and
no.
And I liked that.
Me too. Like it just, it made, it normalized it.
Yes.
And it didn't make it like into this big deal. And
yes,
I really
at first...
liked it a lot. And I love like her relationships with the three guys that work there. And they're like kind of like these father figures. And especially since like her family basically like cut her off because she kept her baby and like didn't give it up for adoption. So she kind of has like this family now with these mm-hmm. three old men who gave her a chance and gave her a job when she really needed money. And it's adorable. And she also has the worst luck with dating. Truly.
Mm-hmm.
Truly bad luck. Then we have Maya, who's Lucy's daughter, who is the catalyst to this entire book. She's the one who calls into Heartstrings to try and help her mom's dating life because she basically doesn't want her mom to be lonely. And so now we have like this introspective, like how old was she? Like 11?
12. Yeah, I think 12.
This introspective 12-year-old who can see like her mom is pouring all of herself into her daughter, which another thing that I really liked was you never felt like Lucy regretted anything. And you can tell that like Maya is like the light of her life. And
yes,
she like everything will surround around Lucy, around Maya. And like that's
and they
that's
never
it.
Get into one of those fights where it's like mm-mm. Lucy blames Maya and then instantly regrets saying it and blah, blah, blah. Like I just hate when that trope happens. And instead, there was no strain. Like you could just tell how
no,
amazing
and
they
like-
got along. And Maya's like, well, I don't want you to be alone when I eventually have to leave you. Like, she's only 12, and she's already, like, thinking about how who's going to take care of her mom.
I, like, loved every single character. There was, like, mm-hmm. not one that I disliked. And then there's Grayson, who's Maya's dad, who basically Lucy and Grayson – Lucy has sex for the first time and gets pregnant.
Horrible. Horrible.
And then Grayson turns out to be gay.
Mm-hmm.
But they have like they're like but they call themselves like their platonic soulmates, mm-hmm. which I love. And Grayson is married to Mateo and they live next door to each other,
which is so funny.
Literally amazing. They have like this wonderful co-parenting relationship mm-hmm. and personal relationship that all parents should just watch, just read that. Just
right.
read their interactions because...
But they also have no boundaries.
They
whatsoever.
Have no boundaries whatsoever.
But they're okay with it, which mm-hmm. is fine. But it's
and
hilarious.
I feel like every time that Grayson shows up in the book, it's just full of humor.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's just funny.
Yeah, he's like a wrecking ball.
Yeah, and he like definitely pries and involves himself way too much into Lucy's life.
Oh, 100%. And she's just like,
and he gets
so
mad.
Accepting of it.
He like gets mad at Maya because Maya called in without his knowledge that he
yes.
couldn't help also pry into her.
Yeah, he's like, why couldn't I have been a part of this mm-hmm. little plan that you had?
Yeah. And then the other two secondary characters who are definitely going to have books, Jackson, who is Aiden's best friend, and he's the weather. The meteorologist on the show, which his scenes were so unhinged when he has to like fill dead air and he's just talking about just like weather,
lava and like volcanoes, and they live in Baltimore.
Yeah, the buildup they think is that it's going to be an enemies to lovers with the other coworker Delilah, who doesn't show up in the book, but she's kind of mentioned like her car is parked too close to his.
Yeah, yeah.
And yeah, so that's like kind of the Easter egg, because then it was like her car was also at the shop that Lucy works
yeah,
at.
Yeah,
and then
the
it's back
Volkswagen
at the
Bug.
Yeah, so that's kind of like I think the Easter egg that it's going to be a Jackson and Delilah book.
Okay.
And I would think that Maggie's going to get the other one, but it also could be Patty, the best friend
yeah.
of Lucy. So I'm not 100% sure, but I wonder if like the one with Maggie is going to be with the company that's trying to like buy out the radio
yeah.
station. That was kind
the
of
guy
the
guy that she was like
because they
texting.
Bring him up like once. Yeah. So I was kind
yeah,
of wondering if
I
that was going to be something.
So confused about that because they never explained it. And then mm-hmm. I got worried that, like, whatever text she was getting was about some plot or ploy that she was doing. I just thought that, like, a lot of other shoes were going to drop in this book, and none of them ever did.
Yeah, because they're probably doing the build-up to
yeah.
the other two books. Because Have you like read any, well, don't, let's not count Butcher and Blackbird because that doesn't count. But like, have you done any other like series like this in the, and like in the romance genre of recent? Probably not.
No, so none that I know of.
Yes, this is, that's like kind of what happens. They just introduce these characters and then things happen that you don't get any more information on until their
okay.
book.
Okay.
And then like all your questions end up getting answered. Like,
I wonder
basically.
If they don't have the other books planned out, if they plant all these, like some authors plant these mm-hmm. Easter eggs and then they see on the internet who people want a story from the most.
That, could also, write be that. That could also be a plan. You never smart. Know. But that, I would say those are like all the main characters who show up the most throughout the book. And Patty, like Lucy's mm-hmm. best friend who owns the fun bakery. Oh my God, what was it called? The Skullduggery?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And she was like anti-Valentine's Day.
I loved that.
She like reminded me of you. I'm like, this is like Kelsey.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And she's like opening champagne at mm-hmm. 10 in the morning. I'm like, this is so relatable. I love it.
I know. And then like her and Grayson have like the co-word, the
code word.
Code word was like pineapple or something like
something
that.
Something like
weird.
That.
And then to discuss her sex life. The book begins with Maya, like we had said. So she calls into Heartstrings looking for advice on how to help her mom. And Lucy, like, hears her daughter on the phone in the middle of the night. And she's like, what the actual fuck? And she steals the phone and immediately starts, like, berating Aiden. He was like, do mm-hmm. you know how old this girl is that you're talking to? Are you a sicko?
Yeah, like, implying that he's, like, some internet pedophile.
Yeah, and then Aiden's like, whoa, 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 like, hold the phone. And then the two of them begin to have, like, this on-air conversation all about her love life. And she talks about what she's really looking for and how she just really wants to find that magic. And she isn't really expecting this to go anywhere. Like, she's just like, all right, Maya did a thing. Now I understand what Maya's feeling. And maybe I could, like, try to start, like, dating again. But then, like, she wakes up the next morning and, like, the conversation, like, goes viral.
Mm-hmm.
Like, millions of views. And she's flabbergasted. Grayson is very upset that he was not involved in this plot.
He's so betrayed.
He's so betrayed. And it becomes this huge thing. And then Maggie wants to bring Lucy in to find the love of her life. So it's Make It Bachelor, but on a radio show.
Mm-hmm.
That's literally what it is.
Because their ratings were dropping, and this is mm-hmm. the key that she thinks to keeping the business.
Yeah, she's hoping like it'll bring the ratings back up and then they can avoid the takeover bid that's mm-hmm. trying to occur. Aiden's definitely not on board with this. He's like, listen, like, I don't want anyone in this tiny ass booth with me. Like, it's, I want to run the show. I don't really want to bring anyone in. And Maggie's like, well, you're very cynical mm-hmm. and listeners can tell, and you need to stop being a grumpy asshole. So we're going to try something new. And so he's like, all right, like, whatever. So I loved his first interaction with Lucy when he makes like dental pickup lines, sexual innuendos, not on purpose, like completely like, and then, and it's like in that cute moment where he doesn't know that Lucy's Lucy. Mm-hmm. He just thinks it's like some random lady.
Girl. Yeah.
I know, and then, of course, well, obviously she makes a lasting first impression on him. And also, Lucy was like, if I remember correctly, she's like, Aiden is too pretty to be a radio show.
Yes. She's like,
he should be on TV.
Someone that
he
hot should not be on the radio.
Movies.
Mm-hmm.
So mm-hmm. they're both kind of like thrown off with what they actually are in person, aside from like just talking on the radio. And the chemistry between them is pretty instantaneous, but not in a
unbelievable
not in a cheesy way.
Way.
Yeah, not unbelievable. Like, they just kind of like click,
mm-hmm.
and they have this really good banter mm-hmm. when they're in the booth. And then in the booth, you kind of get like the forced proximity. The forced proximity trope.
There we go.
We got there. That's kind of like what that trope is. And then it's mm-hmm. also like the grumpy sunshine trope. I feel like those are probably, and also like the he falls first trope.
Mm-hmm.
And it just goes together so well. And Aiden just like notices all these small things about Lucy, like the chocolates were cute, and like he kept like the little like origami bird airplane thing she made out of her chocolate wrapper. And as we know, Aiden is such a cynic about love, and he like continuously tells Lucy that he would be the wrong type of man for her. Like he's not the one. He doesn't believe in the magic of it. He doesn't even believe in like the whole concept of this idea that Maggie had come up with about trying to do. And what was it? Mr. Tire was like sponsoring Lucy's Road to Love.
Yep.
And Aiden's like, what the actual fuck is this? Like, this is not at all
because he feels
the point of the show is.
Exactly. He feels like his radio show is turning into this cheesy dating show, which like it sounds like it is, but then in actual concept, that's not what happens.
Yeah. Yeah. So when she goes on her first date, they do like this whole vetting process, and they give Lucy like a station cell phone so that she can text with possible
suitors.
Thank you. That was literally the word I was trying to pull out of my head. Possible suitors. And of course there's the gross people, you know, and then
send me pictures of your feet.
Yeah. You know, and then there's just, what do you look like? You know, the whole, this is kind of like Love is Blind also. Like, yeah. No one really actually knows what Lucy looks like. Like, there was like one call when the one guy calls in, he's like, well, is she hot? Or like,
yeah,
you know, she sounds like, hot, but
what
does
your
hot?
Face look like?
Yeah, and like, the whole purpose is her talking to people, seeing if there's a connection. And
that's
then,
true. It is like Love is Blind. I didn't think of that.
It kind of is. Yeah. So she finally chooses someone out of the pool of hot mess men. And she goes to the restaurant. And we don't know how it's going. Like, we don't get like an actual in-depth her perspective of her first date. Instead, we get a scenario where Big Mad Grayson shows up at the radio station with the intention of pummeling Aiden into the ground. Or into the radiator, I think he says.
Yes.
Because the dude turned out to be a complete asshole and was trying to prove a point to him and all his frat buddy friends that all you have to do is say all the right things to a woman and you'll get what you want. And there's no actual thing of women actually wanting true love or the romance. They just want to hear what they want to hear. And so Grayson is pissed because, first off, he doesn't think that Aiden's on her side. He thinks that he's just, you know, kind of also a douchebag.
And well, doesn't know him, so like assumes that he could be in on this, or he could have like set it up.
And he's like,
whatever.
You didn't vet this guy enough.
Yeah,
like,
he's
what's
not
going
protecting
on?
Lucy.
And Aiden's like so thrown off because, number one, he doesn't know who Grayson is. He's never met Grayson.
And Grayson is
life.
A big dude.
He is. And then Lucy just kind of shows up. And then like as soon as he like immediately sees Lucy's face and like her red puffy eyes, he now also wants to beat up the guy. So now him and Grayson are like, now we're in a fight club and we're going to go fuck somebody up.
Okay. So I listened to the audiobook of this.
Yes.
And the part where he noticed that she's been crying and he like pushes Grayson out of the way and he's like, tell me who made you cry. I was like, oh.
Oh. I heard. I know that you
like,
listened
this is
to
hot.
It. And I was like reading people's reviews and they, everyone who listened, like, were raving about the audio.
Because it's so two different narrators.
And I kind of like want to go back and like listen, almost listen to
or at least listen to like the next one.
Because people
audio,
are saying
it was,
like, it was so good, and it's and we've talked about this so many times how much difference it is if the audio is good for a book. So that's actually really really cool that they
because like we'll get to it, but the sex scenes weren't so drawn out or explicit, so it wasn't bad to listen to them.
I'm surprised, like side note, that there was that's not her typical thing. She does
really?
More like she does more like closed door romances, from what I've heard. Because even when I read Love Light, it was very very modest, and this was still
this
modest,
was not.
But like not as bad as like what I normally read.
Well, because yeah, but there was like dirty talk.
Oh, I know.
I was like, ooh, Okay. Everyone calm down.
I know. And this is like, so this is kind of like the first glimpse you get of how much Aiden actually cares about Lucy without really admitting it to himself. Mm-hmm. And, you know, like you said, like I said, he keeps noticing things about her and he's like so perplexed how he keeps finding his coffee that he keeps hiding. And it's like, as much as he's trying to stop himself from feeling anything from her, Lucy pretty much makes it like impossible.
Mm-hmm.
And no matter how hard he tries. And one of the things that I love and I thought was just really attractive about Aiden's character was that he was restraining himself so hard. And it's just, and it, again, it wasn't in like an aggressive way either. Mm-hmm. Like he was just very much like, she's not good. I'm not good for her. I know what she's looking for. I am not that. So it would be even selfish of me to like even make a move on her, mm-hmm. or try to like, you know, do anything. And I just really liked that about mm-hmm. his character.
I also really liked that after that horrible date, Lucy's obviously upset, but mm-hmm. she's just so positive and so mature mm-hmm. that it doesn't even slow her down. Like she gets right back out there and she's like, whatever, that guy is just an asshole. Like mm-hmm. not every guy is going to be an asshole. And I'm like, wow, this would not be me.
No.
Like I'd be swearing off men forever.
Yeah, that's like also like what's kind of so endearing about Lucy's character is because like she's really been through the ringer,
mm-hmm.
but she has this kind of positive outlook on life that you wouldn't expect.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's really refreshing.
Because she has enough in her life that she feels fulfilled. And a partner would be a bonus.
Exactly.
It's not going to like fill a void in her
life. Which
is
like another thing I really liked about, like she's showing mm-hmm. like this single mom motherhood and still being able to fulfill her life. And like, yes, you have like in the beginning of the book where she's like, I'm going to drink my wine and cry into my book. But like, she's still like, but that's okay. And like, I've accepted that that's like my life. And I don't necessarily need a man to make me mm-hmm. like feel fulfilled. So I really like when you have that strong female character that's like, I'm okay if I don't have love.
Yes.
Because I have love in so many other aspects. Mm-hmm. And also what I really like about Lucy is that she's not ever like demoralizing herself. She's very much also so sure who she is as a person.
Yes.
And so sure and what about she like, deserves. Her emotions and her thoughts. And like that was also – and that makes her attractive. Like, and that makes mm-hmm. her like an attractive character. So now we have Grayson on the podcast – or podcast – on the radio host show. And he's like, all right, well, now I'm going to find – I know what's best for Lucy.
Mm-hmm.
And so he picks a guy. And so Lucy goes to the restaurant, which was called Duck Duck Goose, which apparently is a real restaurant.
Oh, okay.
But it got closed down. I think I had read somewhere. It like closed like 2 years ago. It was like 2 years ago. But this is like an actual like real location.
Okay.
I was like, oh, that's fun. So she ends up getting stood up on her second date.
Yes, I forgot about this.
And she waits like a long time. She gives this guy way too much credit. She's like, maybe
she waits almost an hour.
She's like, maybe he's stuck in traffic as like a tumbleweed blows by the restaurant.
I know he said he lived within walking distance, but maybe he hit traffic.
I know. And then she's like, all right, well, let me just like text Aiden and just be like, hey, like I'm at the right place, right? And like at the right time. And Aiden's like, what do you mean? He didn't think the guy didn't come. And she's like, no. And he's like, and then he like doesn't respond. He just like goes radio
silent.
This is
so funny because you know exactly what's happening.
Oh, I know. And Lucy's like, okay, cool. And so like she obviously stays. She eats all the nuts. And then the waiter comes up and she's like, well, I have to pay for my wine. He's like, no, like really, I'm going to pay for it. And she's like, no, like it's fine. And then like the guy's like, no, like you've like listening to you was really life changing. And it made me realize that the relationship I'm in is like not good for me.
Mm-hmm.
So now Lucy's like actually talking to someone that she impacted,
mm-hmm.
which I think is like what any person would want, especially being on like this kind of platform. Like you want to be able to like touch somebody or find somebody could listen to your story and like relate to it. And then maybe make a better choice for themselves because you inspired them to do so.
And especially because it's so hard to feel like that's actually happening when you're not speaking to an audience. You're literally speaking to air. Mm-hmm. And then to see like a physical in the flesh person saying, no, like, I know you didn't know you were talking to me, but you were talking to me.
Yeah, exactly. So, yeah, so that was really like a really cute, small, like insignificant part of the book, but still has a lot of meaning.
And it wasn't so... I really liked about this book that nothing was so overdone or cheesy. It wasn't like, oh my God, I love you so much. I listen to you every night. Oh my God, like, give me your autograph. Like, it was just a normal, cute interaction.
Yeah, exactly. So she leaves the restaurant because she's like, all right, I'm a head out. And as she's leaving, she hears like Aiden like calling her name. And he's like freshly showered.
Out of breath from running from his house.
So he literally, like, as soon as he got the text that she was stood up, this man turned into like the Tasmanian devil and quickly got himself presentable.
But at this point, he's still trying to act like he doesn't know how much he likes her.
No, I know. It's like he's trying so hard to fight it, but like he really can't. And so he's like, let me just take you out for a beer. She's like, I really feel like you could use a beer. And she's like, what makes you think I'd want to get a beer? She's very much like, what do you mean? So he's like, yeah, no, of course I'll go. And so they go to like this dive bar where the jukebox only plays the Thong Song by Sisqó.
I immediately listened to the Thong Song after this because
I was like, this is actually amazing.
Amazing song.
So of course they're at the bar and... this is where you get the first glimpse of Aiden opening up to Lucy. So, like, he doesn't really tell anyone his own personal story. And so he kind of starts to touch on, well, you know, like, my mom has had cancer. And then she was fine. And she went back into remission. So, and he starts, like, open up. And you can tell, like, from Lucy's point of view, she's realizing how special this moment is. Because Aiden doesn't really open up about himself. And she's also very cognizant about not pushing him.
Yes.
And like scaring him away. So she kind of like lets him get out what he's willing to share. And even and Aiden is like, I never tell people this. He's like, what the fuck? Like, I'm just like, this is all my feelings. Like, and he's not even like upset with himself for doing it either. Like,
he doesn't regret it at all.
Feels like a safe space.
And then she deduces from what he says like more information. So he doesn't say how long she'd been struggling with it, but he's like, oh, but back when I was in high school and I like went to the hospital after. And she's like, oh my God, he's been dealing with this since he was a high school kid.
Exactly. And so now I think that this kind of opens up her eyes more into his personality and to like who he is. Of course they get drunk because and then they're playing like skee ball. Right?
Yes.
I loved that. That was a cute little touch.
Better than like pool or darts or something.
Yeah. So, and then she's like trying to show him how to like the proper way. And of course, like he fucking whips the ball and he's like, yeah, no, I'm just not good at this.
And he's definitely, so upset about it.
Definitely not because like you're not touching me. Like,
yeah.
And so obviously like the lines are definitely getting blurred in this scenario. Lucy is me when she's drunk and she gets very lovey-dovey and comes on to people. And so she's just like, you know, very affectionate with him. And he could tell that like she would be cool if he made a move. Mm-hmm. But he's a respectable man. And again, he's a drunk, respectable guy who's like, this is not what she's looking for. I can't be selfish. So he's like, let's go. Mm-hmm. And she's like, well, not until we dance to the Thong Song.
I mean, that's a fair point.
Yeah, exactly. So, you know, there were so many cute moments just in this long bar scene that were amazing.
And I liked how there was no embarrassing moment. No. Like she tries to kiss him and he's like, no. Do this when you're sober or like rejects her in some way. Cause like, that's how we usually see it in like rom-coms or something. Mm-hmm. That doesn't happen. He just handles it so carefully that she doesn't even realize what he's thinking.
Yeah. And then he brings her home. And then it kind of like stops, abruptly. And then it's like the next morning, Lucy's waking up and she's like on Aiden. And so you immediately, as the reader, you're like, oh my God, like, did something happen? And then it's like, no, Lucy, like, was, like, demanded socks and that you stay the night. Mm-hmm. It was, like, this cute thing. Because she's, like, she just becomes, like, this cuddle bug mm-hmm. when she's drunk. And so nothing happens. Like, again, super, like, respectable. But Maya and Grayson show up because they live next door. Mm-hmm. And it's pancakes for breakfast. So they burst in. And Grayson's like... this is like hard eyes because he's like, this is like what?
Oh my God.
Immediately. Yeah. And Maya's like, who is this man?
Yeah.
Like, oh, like, this is Aiden. He's like, oh, okay. Like, she's very like nonchalant about the entire situation. Mm-hmm. And so Aiden stays for breakfast and there's a lot of like lingering looks over the table. And when Grayson talks about the dating, Aiden gets kind of like grumpy about it. Mm-hmm. Like, mm-hmm. So there's this like very much like this thing where now Grayson has the wheels turning and he's like, oh, I see what this is or like what this could be. So again, like Grayson does kind of know what's in Lucy's best interest because he like clocks this as well before mm-hmm. like she does. And again, like Lucy can also feel like the attractiveness for Aiden and like she can tell that there's something there, but she knows that Aiden is like holding himself back.
Mm-hmm.
So here's the part that I cannot remember. They have the first kiss in the studio, but what leads up to it? Because I blocked it out for whatever reason. Was food involved? Was there cookies?
Well, there's always cookies. There's a lot of cookies in this book.
Oh, no, wait. That was another one.
The first kiss?
Because there's also the kiss in the supply closet.
Well, that was more than a kiss.
Oh, I know.
The kiss in the radio station.
Right?
Can I Google it? I don't remember.
I tried Googling it. I couldn't find it. Like, I was so upset. Really? Well, like, eventually, yeah, like, Aiden, like, finally, like, gives in. And I just remember being also very hot. All the scenes were, like, just very steamy. But, mm-hmm. like, in a good way.
Yeah. And they clearly hold themselves back.
Mm-hmm.
Even though they both... Oh, because they say something about, like... I don't know how it comes up, but something about like, oh, if we just kiss once, then we won't yes. be like curious about it anymore.
Yeah, Aiden's like, I just need to get you out of my system. Like, I just need, it'll be like a one and done. And then Aiden's like, ha ha, joke's on me. But I just can't remember. And again, like you have the situation where he's very much still like, I can't give you what you're looking for. And Lucy's like, this man's playing me hot and cold.
Mm-hmm.
And then they do have like the second hookup in the supply closet, which was also... a very nice scene. Mm-hmm. And again, he's like, I thought that I could, like, I would be good. And he's like, but, like, I literally, like, crave you.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm realized that now it's, like, an infatuation. And I can't stop thinking about you. And he has a raging boner.
And they're both so, like, they just lose all their inhibitions.
Honestly.
And Lucy even says, like, I've never felt mm-hmm. this way, like sexually,
mm-hmm.
and I never, like, I yeah, didn't feel kinda, embarrassed.
She has,
I didn't...
like, that situation where she's been with so many men, but none were pleasuring her correctly, and so mm-hmm. she's never really had orgasms and everything.
Never, like, asked for what she wanted. Uh-huh. Yeah.
And so she really, Aiden is, like, this sexual awakening for her when she realizes that that's what it should feel like, mm-hmm. and, like, what
because
it
he...
should be.
Puts her first
yeah,
and says, like, I'm going to mm-hmm. make sure that you get what you want.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Multiple times.
I know. And then so, like, we kind of have the situation where, like, Aiden is, like, playing her so hot and cold, and so she doesn't understand, like, what's happening.
Mm-hmm.
And so she, like, kind of is, like, leaving the ball in his court in a sense, but also knows that he wouldn't be – he's not really willing to go there with her. And – Aiden's car breaks down, and when he calls for a tow truck without realizing it ends up being Lucy's shop, and it's really cute how they do this. It's like whoever gets the shortest straw mm-hmm. has to, like, take the
shortest pasta stick.
Yeah, has to take the Italian sub-smelling tow truck to go pick up. And so when she pulls up, and, like, I love this, where she's, like, without even seeing his face. She could just tell from his body, like, this was Aiden. Mm-hmm. And Aiden is like, oh my God. So it's just kind of like this kismet moment where it's just like they was unexpected. Aiden has a pineapple pizza in his car or with him because Lucy loves pizza with pineapple and he wants to try it because he wants Lucy's favorites to be his favorite, which kill me now.
Just so fucking cute, but also Lucy's one character flaw.
Yeah, I know. The pineapple on pizza. Yeah. I do like pineapple on pizza.
Stop.
Pineapple and ham, but I like it with barbecue sauce instead of tomato sauce.
Yes, but I would argue same as cheesesteak pizza. It's not really a pizza. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Delicious, but not necessarily a pizza.
Yeah.
Let's call it a flatbread and call it a day.
So again, there's like this tension in the truck. And also Aiden's like, ooh, new fantasy unlocked, seeing like Lucy in like her mechanic uniform.
I didn't know that I had this like coveralls fantasy, but apparently I do.
And finally Aiden like invites Lucy back to his place. And before they pull up and Aiden's like, I need 7 to 10 minutes. And you're thinking like, oh, this man has to like clean up his apartment because it's a hot mess.
Mm-hmm.
And then she comes in and he made like a makeshift fort picnic, which is in the beginning of the book. She says that that is like one of the little dates that she just someone doing that for her.
Like her ideal date.
Yeah. And like he just does it.
I melted.
Literally. Ugh. Like literally. And so again, like you have this moment where Aiden is so clearly the right guy for her.
Mm-hmm.
But he's so hung up on his issues with like commitment and love that he's not able to emotionally get himself there. Like, mm-hmm. he can't get past that wall.
Mm-hmm.
But it doesn't matter. They break the wall of sex. That's what they do. And one of the things that I really liked about Aiden is that he comes off in the non-sexual scenes as this kind of like elusive guy, and then like he cares, but then once it turns sexual he turns into such a dom.
Mm-hmm.
And he's very like controlling in a very sexy way. Mm-hmm. Obviously.
And he sees that Lucy likes it.
Uh-huh. And like when he pulls like her hair a couple times and like, mm-hmm. Lucy's like, didn't know I liked that.
Uh-huh.
You know what I mean? And it's just like the scenes that you get when he says certain things too out of like fucking nowhere. Mm-hmm. And you're just like, oh my God, like that's just like,
yeah, he's a dirty talker.
Mm-hmm. And you know, they have sex, and again, this was well written. It's not super, it is spicy, like don't get, mm-hmm. me wrong, but it's like a very mature spice, I'll say. Yeah.
Because it still had those dirty elements, mm-hmm. like the things he said and like the descriptions, but it, mm-hmm. wasn't drawn out. And it wasn't like, sometimes it just makes me feel icky. Or like the words they use are like words that you should never use. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
To like sometimes describe something pleasurable.
Like when I pick these romances, I'm like, oh my God, I hope it's not like too spicy.
Yeah.
Like, or like that you won't, like it'll take you out of it. But I was like very pleased. And I was like, I'm telling you, I was shocked.
Mm-hmm.
Because when I read Lovelight Farms, and I think her other books are the same way, they're not this spicy.
Yeah.
So this was like a new side of BK that I'm seeing. And I was, mm-hmm. like, oh, but I agree. Mm-hmm. I also, it's kind of like, it's kind of like Carly Fortune.
Mm-hmm.
The same way that she writes like the sexual scenes. Like it's not so hardcore.
It's not 10 pages long.
Yeah, you know. So it was tastefully done.
Yes, I agree.
And I really enjoyed it.
Same.
And so now like we're in like this limbo of like Aiden and Lucy, where now you have this scenario where Maggie's like, well, Lucy's time is close to being up. And Aiden's like, oh.
Mm-hmm.
And he kind of realizes, like, he's gotten too attached.
Mm-hmm.
And so he starts, they're on the air, and he just becomes, like, a total asshole. And some guy, oh, what was his name? Carl Chuck. Clayton.
Oliver? Oh, no. Oliver was the guy that she went on that other date with. Oliver was
another date with. But he, insignificant, that one. And they just ended up being, like, friends. So, it began with a C, I feel like. But he's the guy with the Chevy.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Maybe it doesn't begin with a C. Maybe I'm also wrong. But...
truly doesn't matter.
And so he's like, oh, like, I'm Lucy. Like, I knew I recognized your voice. Like, you've been taking care of good old Rosie for me.
Mm-hmm.
And so, of course, Aiden gets jealous immediately because, duh. And he's like,
send her flowers.
Yeah. And he's like, but I'm the wrong choice for her. So this sounds like the man for him or for her. And he's like, how about a date? And Lucy's like, I'm sure, like, the daggers that were flying out of her eyes. And she's mm-hmm. like, what the actual fuck? And so she's like, all right, let me put you on hold. Like, I'll talk to you about it in the break. We'll get you and Lucy set up on that date, you know? And then Lucy's like, what are you doing? And this is what we call the third act breakup that not one romance reader likes. And if you like it, you're lying. Because it's like... you finally get them together and then something stupid and insignificant happens that breaks mm-hmm. them up for a hot minute. And then you have like the, never mind, I was wrong kind of scenario. Like, just let it flow. And so Lucy's like, you're the one that I want. And if you like, don't think like you can give that to me, then that's fine. But I don't know, because at this point too, Aiden doesn't think that Lucy wants him in that way either.
Yeah.
Because she's never verbally expressed it. Mm-hmm. This is probably the one. Because
she doesn't want to scare him away.
Yeah.
But also, and we know this from her POV, not because she expresses this, but she's finally realizing, maybe I don't need magic right mm-hmm. now. Maybe I just need to have some fun and need to mm-hmm. be with someone who like makes me feel good. And I can do these fun things with and just like have good chemistry with.
Yeah.
And so she's kind of coming around to, I don't have to marry Aiden. I can just have a good time with him and like we can bang and have a great time. And Aiden is like keeping her at arm's length because he doesn't know that she's accepting that.
This is like the one con in their relationship is that mm-hmm. their communication is actually really good.
Mm-hmm.
But this specific scenario is where they kind of both like lost each other on it.
Yeah, because he says something. Oh, because he asks her, how do you want to play this? Mm-hmm. Like, how do you want this to go? And she's like, well, I don't want anything to change. And I want everything to be the same. And he takes that as she doesn't want them to be in a relationship and she doesn't want to tell people about it, blah, blah, when really she meant, I don't want to talk about it on the radio.
Yeah.
But exactly. He just didn't ask for clarification because it broke his heart.
Hmm? Like a little bit of a miscommunication trope.
Yeah.
And so Lucy then leaves it at Aiden's court and she's like, if you're ready or when you're ready, like I'll be listening, which she does not listen actually, because she's like, I can't listen to this man because he's stupid.
And then she throws her radio in the ocean.
Yeah. And then so now you have this part of Aiden where he finally has an epiphany and he realizes he's like fucked up, but he has this really, really sweet conversation with his dad. And because the one thing that like I didn't really touch on with Aiden is that he loves his parents, but he's pulled away from them because he still doesn't want to create memories with them and get close to them because he's still so afraid about his mom, like, mm-hmm. dying. And so, like, he's really kind of cut himself off from his parents. And so he finally calls his dad and he's like, I definitely fucked up. And dad's like, does this have anything to do with that girl you've been talking to on the radio? That everyone knows that you guys are fucking mm-hmm. and should be dating. And, Aiden's like, yeah. And it's like, you know, and then he has, like, this whole heart-to-heart 1 o'clock in the morning with his mm-hmm. dad. And Aiden's like, all right, I know what I need to do. And so they do this whole elaborate, this is like the John Cusack with like the radio. And
it takes him a week. Like, dude, what are you doing?
Yeah, I know.
You're making him wait too long.
I know. So he like gets everyone at the radio station to like help him out. And even like the tow truck guys, he like somehow gets the, or the mechanics, he's like, mm-hmm. 'cause then Lucy brings the car, Aiden's car to the radio station. And the one guy's like, no, I'll be following you. I promise. Like I'll come follow you and like bring you home. he did not follow. And then one of my favorite parts of the book happens where she opens the glove compartment. And she finds a list and she reads it and she realizes it's all her favorite things that Aiden wrote down. So, like, he wouldn't forget.
And even, like, there's a part where he wrote, like, red starburst and then he crosses it out and writes yellow. Like, he was paying so much attention that he's like, no, no, no. That one's actually her favorite.
And again, it's like you have, like, this introspective to Aiden that you can see, like, he's such a hopeless romantic, but he's made himself so cynical that he, like, doesn't believe that he deserves it.
Because he says to his dad during that conversation, like, how could you be with someone, like, how could you be with mom knowing how much you love her and, like, loving her more and more every day and knowing that she's going to be taken from you? Like, how can you put yourself in that position where you know that you're going to be devastated?
And like, his dad's like, how can I not?
Yeah.
Like, he's like, I love your mother. The answer seems
so simple.
Yeah. And it's like, of course I'm going to be there for her and it's going to suck. And, but like, I love her so much. And like, I chose this life with her. So, and we have Aiden calling in to Heartstrings to talk to Lucy about how he screwed up with this guy, this girl that he's fallen in love with. And he wants to know, how do you know you've fallen in love? And Lucy, like, really obviously knows it's Aiden. And he just goes off on this whole diatribe about what he did wrong and how he's fallen in love with this girl without saying it. And Lucy's like, where are you? And, like, he ends up being, like, outside the station, of course. And so, like, she goes out there and then you finally have that moment where they say they love each other and it's happy ending. And you have Maya and Grayson in the car, like, woo!
And also, how do these people run a radio station?
Like, no idea. No idea.
Half the time he's late because he wants to, like, look at Lucy a little longer. Now there's, like, dead air because they're out in the parking lot just like.
Jackson's just talking about the weather again. Yeah.
Like, no wonder your guys' ratings are down. It's terrible.
I know. And then. It was, like, all perfect, though. Like, even, like, with, like, the third act breakup, like, this was just a perfect, perfect book.
I really liked it.
I liked it so much. And there were a couple cute things about it. Like, you also definitely have that found family theme in 100%. So many different ways. Like, you have it with Grayson and Lucy and Maya and Mateo, because Grayson's family also cut him off. So it's like they kind of had to, like, fend for themselves and they created their own little family that works. And then you have Jackson and Aiden and, like, their friendship. And then you also have Aiden being so accepting of Maya and also being so thoughtful of Maya, which, like, takes Lucy away. Like, she's like, holy shit, like, this man just coming into, like, this situation with no issues whatsoever and being so accepting of, like, what we have. And
like, a guy who didn't believe in love and now is not only in love with her, but also loves her daughter.
Yeah, exactly. Which is, like, kind of, like, unexpected. You wouldn't really expect that. I love the radio transcripts in between the chapters. Obviously, I read it, so I saw them. So I'm interested to see how they did it for, like, on the audiobook, because that had to be pretty cool too.
Yeah, so it would just be like a little, like, noise to signal that it was, like, the on-air starting.
Okay.
And then it would be both of their voices, so who did Aiden and who did Lucy, and them, like, talking, but it was, like, a slightly different voice than they did when reading the chapters, so you could tell it was, like, their talking voice, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And then when there was like, cute. The... when they had, like, the chat room things, they just, like, read the screen name and, like, had all the different things. But I really liked it, too. Because normally that stuff doesn't translate as well to the audiobook.
No.
But because sometimes. It was little conversations, it did.
Also, I'm going to put myself on blast here right now, and which is, like, terrible considering who I am as a person and how much I love rom-coms. I've never seen Sleepless in Seattle.
Actually, I'm not that surprised by that. I feel like it's more of, like, a movie that you know about in theory. You don't actually watch from start to finish.
And then I realized I've actually never seen any of the three Meg Ryan rom-coms.
Oh.
I've never seen You've Got Mail, and I've never seen When Harry Met Sally.
I think the only one that I've watched start to finish is When Harry Met Sally. The other ones I've seen, like, on TV.
So now I just want to have, like, a movie marathon and watch all three back to back. So that's, like, my one of my goals for this
month. That sounds wonderful.
Because I'm, like, I mean, and I know it didn't really pull heavily from Sleepless in Seattle. From what I read, it was just, like, a switch. Because he's the host. I guess she was the host. Meg Ryan's character was the host in the movie. And there's just kind of like the call into the radio station. Like, that's it. That's like the only parallel to Sleepless in Seattle. But I was like, now I need to watch this movie. Because she found such like inspiration just from like that.
Yeah, because it feels original, but still familiar. If that makes sense.
No, it does. But yeah, was there anything else that I didn't talk about that you wanted to discuss? I actually think I did fairly well remembering.
I think you did a great job.
I was actually a little surprised as
you
I was going.
You jogged my memory on a lot of stuff, but I finished it just a couple days ago. I do want
to
just say.
I just need to talk to you about it when I'm like
exactly,
looking at you.
Exactly.
It triggers it.
I think the only other thing is like we talked about Lucy's character growth a little bit, like how she decided she just wants to have fun and stuff, but also like, as far as Aiden during his whole, oh, I realized what I did wrong with Lucy. He also realizes that the reason is because he wasn't letting himself feel anything.
Mm-hmm.
Like he never wanted to feel anything because
he definitely shut that off.
Exactly.
That part of him off.
He knew he didn't want to be heartbroken by friends, by family, by a relationship. And so he kind of comes to that realization of like, because I've done that, I've missed out on all this time with my family. And like, even though my mom is healthy now, I missed out on so much time with her. And just because I was scared to face that or scared to face like my fear of losing her. And I mean, I thought that was really relatable because like before my dad died, I kind of accepted it before it happened.
Yeah.
So that I wouldn't be like shocked or I wouldn't have like the rug pulled out from under me because I was already prepared.
Which is definitely like what Aiden did. Like he was kind of already acting like his mom died.
Yeah.
Essentially.
Mm-hmm. And he's like, because she's gotten better so many times, just because she's better this time doesn't mean anything.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
And it's horrible because you understand why he like makes up all these excuses. But then like every time he talks to his mom and dad, they're like, we're so proud of you. We love you. And next time you'll come, next time you'll come. And I'm like, Aiden, next time you have to go.
I know. And now there will be a next time and he's going to do it. So,
And he'll probably bring Lucy and Maya.
Oh, I know. But yeah, I agree. His character growth. Well, I think that his character growth, this was who he always was. He just needed Lucy to open up that part of him. Because I feel like he's the same person that he was in the beginning of the book that he is at the end. But now he's just more vulnerable and willing to be his true self.
Well, and he says this is who he used to be before the radio station and his mom's cancer like ruined him. But I feel like a lot of times in these romance books, it's about the person changing completely, and that's their character growth. Where, and like you said, he was already like this, he just had to find it again.
Yeah, they both completely stayed who they were, and they just brought out the better versions of themselves in their relationship.
And they kind of realized that it's not about what you're looking for, but it's about finding someone and realizing,
yeah,
that's what fits with what you're looking for.
100%. Shall we get to the ratings?
Let's do it.
All right. So our rating system is out of key ring necklaces.
The key ring necklace. This is cute.
Yeah. So the whole thing was his he had a charm necklace that he had from when his mom was in the hospital. And he just wears the necklace with the key ring. The charm like fell off like immediately, he said. But he like wears it for like good luck and he just never takes it off. And then there's always this, there's like this obsession with Lucy, and because you can see the chain under his shirt. And there's so many times before she finally is like, what is that? You know what I mean?
Uh-huh. And she's like, so fixated on it. Peeking out from his sweatshirt. And then when she finally sees him in a t-shirt, she's like, it's a crime that he wears so many sweatshirts.
I know.
Like, look at his biceps. Like, he should be walking around naked all the time.
Yeah, exactly. So yeah, out of key ring necklaces.
Okay, this is funny because when I first finished it, I gave it 4 key ring necklaces. But after talking about it, I'm raising my rating to 4.5 key ring necklaces. I loved the writing. I mean, we already talked about what we liked about the spicy scenes. But I also, the reason I gave it a 4 initially is because the whole time that I was listening to it, I'm like waiting for all these horrible big things to happen because that happens in so many romance books. Like, usually the third act breakup is something awful.
Yeah.
That they have to like get over, and there's just like so many more bad feelings, where this was just Aiden having a mood swing and Lucy very concisely expressing herself.
Maturely
handling it. And then he waits to do this like big gesture and stuff. But I was just kind of like, every time something was happening, I was waiting for it to get worse, and it never did.
I agree, actually.
And now that we're talking about it, I like that it didn't get worse, but I feel like that was kind of the reason for my lower rating originally. But I loved these characters. I loved how you talked about like the initial chemistry. Sometimes it's so cheesy, like, oh, there was this electricity going through the room. This was just like normal hot people getting along.
Being attracted to each other.
And then it grows into something else. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, it all just felt 100%. So relatable and normal. I also, you talked about the mechanic thing. I loved that they didn't make it a huge deal. It just was a part of the book.
It just was.
So I definitely, well, I don't want to read her other series because I like this little spiciness. So I'll have to wait for the next one of this series.
I'll read the other ones and I'll see if they're actually, if I am wrong, maybe they are. But I feel like
as soon as you say it's about a Christmas tree farm, it sounds like it's going to be a little modest. You know what I mean?
A little Hallmarky.
Exactly. No, but I really liked it. I liked it a lot more than I thought I was going to because the cover is such a cheesy romance cover. And it was kind of like, I don't know, I thought it would just be like a whatever romance, like the one that we read. What was it called? The winter one. Kiss Her Once for Me. But yeah, it was so much better than that. So with all that rambling, what did you give it?
I gave it a 5. Yeah, like hands down. Mm-hmm. I loved every single thing about this book. I am such a fan of her writing style. I definitely will buy the other two when they come out. I want to keep them on my bookshelf. I want to buy the Lovelight series without even reading the other three because I just know they're going to be so good. Mm-hmm. Like, she's just one of those romance novelists that it's going to be an auto buy for me, like 100%. And just everything, every single character, no matter how minor, brought so much depth to the story in their own way.
None of them were like token characters.
No.
They were real characters.
And I'm so excited to see where the other two stories are going to go. I really enjoy how relatable the friendships were and the relationships were. Like, they weren't unheard of. They were very believable. And just Grayson and Lucy's relationship is really special to me because of how they're able to co-parent and be like family, even though they don't have like, they never really had that romantic part of their relationship, and how Lucy feels so comfortable with like Mateo. And it's just a really cute, I would even just love to see like a Grayson and Mateo book.
I was thinking that,
but I would love to see that.
Yeah, that would be great. But yeah,
but no, I just loved everything about it. And now I want to watch all the Meg Ryan movies because I need to see where the inspiration comes from.
I feel like those are good movie night movies.
And I think watching them now at this age, I'll like them more.
Yeah, because it's older.
I feel like if I watched those three movies when I was super into my rom-com era, I don't think I would have appreciated them as much as I would now. So I will report back on one of the bookish banters when I eventually watch them, because who has the time? But when I get there, and I will get there.
December bookish banter.
right? So I will, but I actually think that I'm going to enjoy them more.
You should start with Sleepless in Seattle then.
Yeah, I'm going to. I think I'm going to do Sleepless in Seattle, You've Got Mail, and then end with When Harry Met Sally. Mm-hmm. So I'll watch the two Tom Hanks ones and then the Billy Crystal one. So yeah. Yeah. Love it.
Great pick.
I'm happy because sometimes you just never know what the romance novels can get like a little. So I always get like a little nervous.
I get a little nervous too.
But so far, the ones that I've chosen, aside from Butcher and Blackbird, have been pretty low key and not like overbearing for you.
Yeah. And I really, it's funny because two of the authors you picked, this one and Emily Henry, I feel like will be auto buys for me, even as a not romance girly.
Which is great. Yeah. I loved it. I'm so happy. What about Carly Fortune? No, I know.
I like Carly Fortune.
No, but she's got like, she's a specific niche.
She has the cheating trope, which I don't like.
Yeah, I know. And also she's very much like coastal story, whereas Emily Henry and BK do like multiple kind of thing. Yeah. Whereas Carly Fortune is definitely a specific location, which is fine.
Yeah. And I liked the book. It's just the cheating trope just like turns me off.
You know? It turns a lot of people off. Mm-hmm. So you're not alone in that.
But not everyone, because Ellen Hildebrand. There's every a reason she got all that money,
every
baby.
Every book that she writes has a cheating trope from, like, what I've heard. But,
yeah.
Which, by the way, she had come out and said that she's no longer going to write anything.
Yeah,
and
now she talked about that.
Yeah, and, like, now she, like, wrote a book with her daughter. Yeah.
I know. It's like when UFC fighters are like, I'm retiring. And it's like you've had one fight, and then they come back and do, like, two more fights. They're like, I'm retiring again.
I know. Okay, yeah, buddy. Her and her daughter, like, penned some book that's coming out. I don't remember too much of it, but that's it, like, caught my attention. And I was like, I thought you were done writing.
She was like, her daughter was like, can you at least just put your name on this book so I'll actually sell some copies and then I'll write my own books? That's a good mom. That's like Gordon Ramsay, who says that his kids aren't going to get any of his money. Ellen Hildebrand is like, no, I'll help you get that bag. Okay, we've gone off track. Okay.
All right. That's all we have for you today. If you like what you heard, please make sure to follow, subscribe, and rate and review the podcast on whatever platform you listen to us on. If you have any book recommendations or questions for us, you can email us at fullybookedcafpod@gmail.com. Also, be sure to follow us on TikTok and Instagram at fullybookedcafpod to see our upcoming reads. Thanks for checking us out. And remember,
if you need us, we're fully booked.
Bye.
Bye.